You're going to want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 34 today and verse 7. And let's begin sharing tonight the anointed word of God that is able to save our souls. Praise God. We are going to start talking today and tomorrow night on strength for your journey. How many of you have ever wanted to quit in your lifetime? How many of you ever wanted to quit something? And you just said, boy, I'd really like to quit this. But even though you wanted to quit, you knew that quitting was not really an option. It was just an emotion that you were going through based on the pressure you were experiencing or based on the discomfort you had in the circumstance or because of the people. Everybody is human, so we all have emotions that through our lifetime of living, we have had these terrible things that happen to us, and some people in life develop an escapism kind of attitude. And so as soon as it gets too hot in the kitchen, they start taking off. Other people are not like that. They just hang on and hang on and hang on. But one thing I have found that in order to really enjoy being a man of God or a woman of God or being a Christian or being married or having children or dealing with life or dealing with your job or dealing with your finances or dealing with anything in your life is that you have to find strength for the journey that you're on. This is a marathon. It is not, you know, a 100-meter dash. It is a marathon. You have to be here 20 years from now. You have to be here 40 years from now. Marriage is a marathon. It's not, you know, a short distance race. You don't just have, you know, romance and then that's it. Praise the Lord. You have to go through all the stages of growth in a relationship. You have to learn the language of the other person. You have to learn what it is that hurts the other person and how the other person feels loved and what you do to make them feel loved and how to minister to that person, how to nurture that person, how to walk in unity with that person, when to go to war with that person, when to keep your mouth shut with that person, when to open your mouth, you know, when to freak out, when not to freak out. Just all kinds of things you got to learn in the midst of that. But what that requires is strength. When you're walking in life, you need strength. Meeting people, being betrayed by people, being lied to by people, being stabbed in the back by people, being treated like you're a worthless piece of trash people. All of the people stuff, and you've got to learn to have strength, or else you get knocked out of the race. Pretty soon you're no longer even in the race. And then, of course, Satan has accomplished his will for your life, which is to make you completely irrelevant as a Christian. Praise the Lord. How many of you want to be a weapon in the hands of God? And you want to accomplish great things for God, and you want to do the will of God and not get knocked out. Praise the Lord. We all know people that have been knocked out because they ran out of strength. And I'm sure all of you have been in positions where you've said, I just can't do this. You know, I can't take this. This is just too much. I can't handle this. That is burnt out. That is running out of strength. Well, the good news is there is no such thing, praise the Lord, to a person that is abiding in the vine. Praise God. When you stop abiding, you start withering. There's no such thing if you know the secrets of supernatural strength. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to share those with you today and tomorrow, just the stuff that I've learned from my life in living through the things that I've gone through and all the stuff that's happened in my life with the Word of God. We're going to begin by reading in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight wasn't impaired, and his strength had not diminished, not even a little bit. How about that for strength? Amen. Praise the Lord. How about that for strength? 120 years. Remember that there is no failure in Christianity until you quit. There is no failure. You cannot fail as a Christian in any area until you quit. Once you call it quits, then it's over with. Praise the Lord. Not that there aren't some things that you're supposed to quit because they're the will of God, because you're in a dangerous situation. That's different. But I'm talking about having the strength to live life and to live through life. Praise God. And some of you have crazy people in your life, and you're going to have strength to live through that. Right? You have unreasonable circumstances in your life. I know a lady that had a child that was really, really out of control. The child was out of control. They were not, they were disabled, mentally disabled, and it required just almost supernatural strength to take care of the child because the child was not able to understand or even be reasonable or reason with. So they just take off running in the middle of places and all night long, and it just was really difficult. And God had to give that lady supernatural strength. Praise the Lord. But he gave it to Moses. He gave it also, we read, to Joshua, that at 84, he was just as strong as he was at 34. So that's pretty powerful. Then you also read about Elijah, that Elijah ate a meal of heavenly food. And it said that he went on the strength of that food for 40 days. Praise God. God can give you the strength to deal with very difficult situations in life. You just need to know how you get that strength. Praise the Lord. So for today, let's talk about a couple of areas of strength. First of all, God gives you the strength to resist certain temptations. Praise the Lord. How many of you know you need strength to resist impulses and desires that are of the flesh and not of the spirit? Do any of you have any of those? Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, God gives that. He gives strength to overcome particular sins, to even overcome circumstances, to overcome people. God gives people strength to that. He gives us strength to believe him for certain impossible miracles. We need that miracle. We don't really have a choice. We just have to believe God for it. And like Abraham, who had to believe for over 20 years, he had to have the strength of spirit to be able to stand on the promises of God and say, I am persuaded to believe that what God had promised, he is also able to perform it. Praise the Lord. I am convinced, and I'm not staggering in unbelief at the promise God gave me, but I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. Noah, 100 years of building the ark. What do you think it was like to get up every morning for 100 years and build a boat when it had never rained? And build it in the face of laughter, ridicule, and mockery. Praise the Lord. And just because he had the strength of God to do it, he got the job done. How many of you have ever started something and run out of gas in the middle of it? Other than Mike, who doesn't have that particular disease. But the rest of us, my wife doesn't have it either. You know, when we first got married, man, it was almost too much for me watching her stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning because she had to finish a job that could have easily been finished the next day. But there was some demon or something in there from the pits of hell driving her to have to finish it that day because the next day there was another thing to do. You don't laugh too much here because you're like that, aren't you? I'm talking about you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have mercy on your soul. You drive the rest of us crazy. But anyway, praise the Lord. Strength to believe. And then you need strength to stand sometimes. How many have ever been in a situation where you've been pressured by people to compromise about something? Pressured by your job, pressured by finances, pressured by a situation, even people you love, to compromise in some area and to make a decision you know is against your conscience. And you're just being pressured. And you have to have strength like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You have to have strength to stand upon your convictions no matter what it costs you. Praise the Lord. And if you've never done that, then you don't understand the beauty of standing alone with God against the world, if necessary. Because that's what Christians have to do sometimes. We have to stand against the world. And everything the world says is right and good and acceptable. Praise the Lord. God gives strength for that. You need strength to continue on in the journey you're on, or to continue on doing what God has put in your hand to do. A lot of people, especially people in ministry, I think the statistic is that about 5,000 preachers quit every year or every month the ministry because they just can't continue. They just don't have the strength to go on. It's difficult for some people to preach to people and then watch people never change. So some people can't take that. They just quit. They say, I can't handle that. So they go on to something that's a little more rewarding. Praise the Lord. And so you are given strength to continue. Maybe you have to continue in a bad relationship or a bad marriage that's going to take time to heal. Or with a child that really doesn't love you at that time, or is rebellious against God, or is not serving the Lord, and you need the strength of the Lord. Sometimes you just say, Lord, I just need strength. How would you like to never be in that place again? Is anybody in the building? Is anybody looking? Are you here? How many of you would like to be in a place where you don't ever feel that weakness again? You don't ever feel that quitting thing again. You never feel like giving up on people again. You never feel like just walking away again. This is what I'm trying to give you tonight and tomorrow night. The secrets of that. Because that doesn't have to happen. You don't have to ever be in that position. It actually is not supposed to be normal for Christians to experience that. They do, but you don't have to. Praise the Lord. I think a lot of times people are too experience oriented instead of Bible oriented. And we become dominated by our experience. It almost becomes our Bible. And then instead of the Bible becoming our experience becomes our Bible. And we need to really be careful that we don't ever put more confidence in our experience than we put on what God promises can be our experience. Praise the Lord. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Praise God. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. Have you ever lived a day without fear? Because if you have, you know that the result of that is absolute joy during that day. Because one of the most terrible things there is in life is to be scared of something. When the fear leaves, joy moves in. Praise the Lord. And there we see that God said, you can actually be totally free from fear completely in your life, which means that you can have joy every morning and every night. Praise God. Would you give the Lord a hand right now and act like you're born again Christians? Praise the Lord. All right, and hug the person next to you and say, I'm going to give you $100 tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There are the cards. I'm waiting for five people to come and get those right there. Praise God. All right, so then God gives us strength to wait. How many of you know that sometimes for some of you, waiting is like being in hell itself? Because you're so impatient and you like to get things done. You hate waiting. Waiting to you is almost like torture. But God gives us patience. God gives us the strength to wait. Like Abraham waited. And many of the people in the Bible had to wait. Look at Joseph. Years of waiting as a slave, years of waiting as a servant to other people, when he had a promise that he would be in charge and he would be the leader and he would be in a position of authority, but he had to wait. He had to wait. He just had to wait. Praise God. And all the people that wait for miracles and just wait and wait and wait and wait. I was called by a lady and she was crying and she said, my husband has gone into a coma and I would like you to come pray for him because he's not a Christian. And he'd never been to church, and I've been a Christian for like 20 years or whatever. And she called me to the hospital. I prayed for the man. I felt no power, felt no anointing, felt no virtue. I didn't feel anything whatsoever. I said the words. I prayed everything. And she says, I've been believing God for 20 years that he would get saved, but now he's in a coma with his cancer, and I don't know how, what's going to happen. So I said, okay, well, let's believe God. The next morning, she calls me crying that he had come out of the coma. When he came out of the coma, that he had said that Jesus appeared to him in the dream and told him to get saved and that he was going to give him another 20 years. The man lived for 20 more years as a radical Christian and died 20 years later, went straight to heaven, and his wife, who had waited and believed God, got herself 20 years of a Holy Ghost man because she honored God, because she had the strength to wait in a situation that most people would have run away from. Praise the Lord. Not that God wouldn't have told her to run away and told other people to run away. It may have even been the will of God. But for her, in that situation, she was obeying the voice of God, and God gave her the strength to do it. That's how you know sometimes that you're in the will of God, is because you have supernatural strength. Amen. Amen. A situation that, like, wow, I need to get out of this. And in most cases, yes, you do. But in some cases, God gives you the supernatural strength. And it's not hard. It's not difficult. For other people, it will kill them. And for you, you don't feel, because you have the strength of God to walk through it. God gives us strength to sometimes reveal to us that we are in his will. Praise the Lord. All right? Give somebody a high five and shake their hand and say, snap out of it. Praise the Lord. Or just like some people have to wait for a husband or a wife. And this is what I tell people everywhere where I go. I said, look, your waiting will be a lot less if you're worthy of being, of someone marrying you. It's not like God just gives husbands and wives to people and just hands them out. You know, we have to actually be a husband before we are a husband. We have to be a wife before we're married. You already have the heart of, have to have the heart of a wife or the heart of a husband. And unfortunately, sometimes you marry people who want to be married but don't have the heart of a husband, and they don't have the heart of a wife. And so you're never married, even though you legally live in the same house, because you married a person without the heart of a husband or the heart of a wife. Don't feel the power and love on that. I'm back here. Praise the Lord. Way to go, Ivan. Woo! Good preaching, brother. You need strength to fight. You need strength to fight. Sometimes you fight the devil for a long time before he lets go. Praise God. Just like in Genesis 39, Jacob fought with the angel and he grabbed onto the angel. And the angel was a lot stronger than he was. But the faith of Jacob was stronger. And so he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Praise God. I will not let you go until you bless me. And he fought and he wrestled with that angel. And he got what he was looking for, which is a new nature and a new name and a new destiny and a new ministry and a new calling and a new life. Praise God. Because he had the strength to fight that battle. Just like David did, God gives us strength to fight certain enemies that are in our family tree. You know, some of you have alcoholism in your family tree. I had that really bad in my family tree. And God gave me the strength to fight it. My wife had it. God gave her the strength to fight it. And other things like that. God gives you the strength when you're walking in His will and you're doing what He wants you to do and you're walking in the things that make you strong. And then you get that blessing. You need strength also sometimes to obey when you don't want to. How many have ever had to obey when you don't want to? Remember, anybody can obey when you want to. But the real blessings only come when you obey when you don't want to. Let me say it a different way. Worship is not singing songs. That's the icing on the cake of worship. True worship is obeying when you don't want to. You take a man that all week long he's been obeying when he doesn't want to. Because love is a life of deaths. Faith is a life of risks. So when you're walking in love, you're dying all day long for other people. You're denying yourself, rejecting your own selfishness to please other people and to bless other people. So love is a life of deaths. That's how you know you walk in love, is it becomes easy for you to die to yourself for other people. You can't do that without the strength of God, obeying when you don't want to. Praise the Lord. But the blessings that come out of it. A man comes up and he sings on Sunday morning when he's obeyed, when he doesn't want to all week long. Another man standing right next to him singing the very same songs has disobeyed all week long. They're both singing the same songs and they're both going to have a different experience with God. They're totally going to have a different experience with God. One man is going to battle his guilt and shame and try to get over that the whole service, if he even does. The other person will be literally engulfed in the glory, which he didn't come to get. He actually brought it with him. The other man brought nothing but his sin and brokenness, and he came to get something from God. He may get it or he may not get it, depending on if he repents or not. Praise the Lord. Do you see the difference? So a lot of people live any way they want, then come and sing and feel nothing. People who obey when they don't want to dwell in the presence of God and bring it into the church. Praise the Lord. Grab somebody and say, get off sugar. Praise God. Snap out of it. We need strength to endure things. How many have ever been in a situation you can't get out of? Huh? I have ever been in a situation, you say, man, oh my gosh, really I want to get out of this. Oh, this is terrible. And you need the strength to get out of it. You know, Mike, I think, went with me on a trip up into Honduras, up canoes. You know, we were on planes and then we got on canoes and it was like 190,000 degrees. And I think we got there at like 2 o'clock or 3 in the morning. Mosquitoes were everywhere. It was so hot. We had tents. We had to sleep in tents, and it was like 105, 110 at night. And we were in the tents and sweating and, mosquitoes everywhere. No showers, nothing. There was a bucket there and behind a little plastic thing, and that's how you had to, you know. Oh, man, it was, oh, gosh. And then I had sent ahead all the materials for the church, which got there. I had also sent ahead $3,000 or $4,000 ahead, 3 months ahead, to buy all the food for the team. So we would have steaks and chickens and we would have vegetables and we would have fruit and we would have sodas and we would have everything we needed. And I made a big deal out of it and I sent that money ahead. When we got there, the missionary had nothing there. He had nothing. I said, where's the food? He said, well, I thought they would enjoy having the local cuisine. You know, and nobody saw this. I just did this in private with him. And I said, well, I hope you enjoy your last month on the mission field because I'm going to get you kicked out of here. He said, where's the $3,000 I sent you? He said, well, I just put it into the thing. I said, who gave you permission to do that? Did I give you permission to do that? Anyway, I'm getting back in the flesh about it. But because here's all these guys that I'm bringing. And I want them to have a good time because we're in a horrible place. But we're doing God's work. And it's hot. And we're working all day long, literally from the morning till night, and then preaching at night. And there's snakes there that will kill you. Two-step snakes. They bite you, you're dead in a couple of steps. And we're in the tents. And after the Indians that we're preaching to are in the trees, literally. They won't even come close the first night. And every night, a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. You know, we're building a church for about 500 people, and the church has 12 people in it when we get there. On Sunday, when we dedicate the building, there's over 500 people that have been saved and are in the church, and there's another 150 outside of the building, all now part of this church, with this lousy guy that's going to be their preacher. And I told him, you ain't ever going to be the preacher. I was mad at him every day. Any chance I saw him, I just whipped him, just tongue whipped him the whole time in the name of the Lord by the power of Almighty God. Because here are guys, they're eating rice and beans at 110, 20 degrees. And it's not a problem if that's all there was, but I made provision. God made provision so that they could have strength to work in that kind of heat. They did it anyway, praise the Lord. And, you know, we got everything happened, and then I got him thrown out of there, praise God. I said, you can't be stealing money from people. These people trust me. They gave me their money. You can't do that. So, bam, out of there. Glory to God. Everybody say amen. Amen. That's the other side of Ivan. But anyway, there's power in there. Glory to God. I don't know what I was saying, but it was good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to have strength to endure. So during all those situations there, and it was really interesting because when we were done, we had to fly out in a plane, just one person at a time in a little plane. The pilot would come, get one of us, flies out, get another one, flies out. He's a little bush pilot, you know. I'm in there with him. I said, how long you been doing this? He was like, oh, he looked drunk, you know. I said, oh, I've been doing it for a while. I said, why? You look drunk. He said, oh, I'm just tired. I kind of stayed up late. I said, you know, he was. But anyway, as soon as we got to civilization, there was a Pizza Hut. You should have seen. You have never seen men eat this fast. And this much. I mean, we covered everything in jalapenos. It was like for hours. We just ate pizza after pizza after pizza. It was a glorious thing. Praise God. Strength to endure. Praise the Lord. Anyway, maybe that's not a good example. But I think you know what I'm saying. That sometimes you just are in a situation you can't get out of. And you can't act like the devil. You have to have the endurance and strength of the Holy Spirit in it. Praise God. Okay. And then you need strength to love certain people. It takes strength to love. You can't just love naturally some people. You need the strength of God to love certain individuals because they go against everything you believe is a good person. And you need the strength of God to love them, especially if they're family members and they're in your family. And you know you can never get rid of them. They are never going to leave. And you know that avoiding them is not Christian. And that talking bad about them is not Christian. And that turning your back on them is not Christian. Hating them is not Christian. Talking bad about them is not Christian. And you of course, you do all that. But God delivers you one thing at a time, you know. And, oh, yeah, I cussed them out today. But praise God, I'll do better next time. So on and so forth. Not anybody here, you know. In Pennsylvania, but some people I know. You need strength to forgive people. That takes the strength of God. You need strength to forgive. You need strength to live life God's way. And you need strength to die every day. You need strength. So those are some of the things you're going to need strength for. I'm going to show you how to get strength tomorrow night. I'm going to show you how you can be strong and stay strong so that the devil doesn't ever overcome you because you're weak in areas of your life. We need strong Christians. We need strong husbands. We need strong wives that are not falling apart all the time. We need strong men. I'm not condemning you for being weak or falling apart. I'm saying the good news is you don't have to stay there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what I'm going to do now is give you some of the things I have that I remind myself of daily that give me strength. And then tomorrow we'll show you how you get that strength. Praise the Lord. Let me start by giving you Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 and 11. You know that the devil has been cast down and he has been defeated. But this is what I tell myself a lot of times, and it's something I've said to you guys, and I know you'll know it. And say it with me if you do. The devil is defeated, and God is on the throne. Would you say that to three people around you? Say, the devil is defeated, and God is on the throne. Come on, say it to somebody. The devil is defeated, and God is on the throne. Come on, say it again. The devil is defeated, and God is on the throne. Let's say it again. The devil is defeated, and God is on the throne. To stay strong, you need to remind yourself that whatever battle you're facing, that whatever circumstance you're in, it's defeated already. It's under the feet of Jesus Christ. It has been defeated by Calvary and by the blood of Jesus and by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And the devil is defeated in your life, and he does not have to be in charge of it. Praise the Lord. Can anybody act like you're, you know, believing me? Praise God. Remember that casual listening reveals a lack of commitment to what you're hearing. That's why it's important to not be casual in your hearing, but to hear with a sense of expectation. Praise the Lord, that God is going to say something to you that you're going to have to make an adjustment about to make that thing come to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So that's one thing I say to myself, and I say it all the time. And here's another thing I say to myself. You can find this in Romans 8:28. God can unscramble eggs. Would you say that to everybody around you? Say, God can unscramble eggs. Come on, say it three or four times. Say, God can unscramble eggs. What have you messed up in your life? What stupid things have you done in your life? What mistakes have you made that you feel are beyond repair, that nothing good can come out of it? Because God works all things together for your good if you love God and are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. If you get God in it, then God can fix what you messed up in whatever amazing way he can do it. God turns what the devil means for harm into something good. We don't know how he does it, but he always does it. And you need to remind yourself of that, that God can unscramble eggs. Praise the Lord. Whatever mistakes you've made in your life, he can use them in some way. Whatever bad choices you've made, he can turn that around. He can use that in some way. Whatever it is, God can take it and unscramble it and then use it as some blessing in some way to bring about something good for somebody out of it, even though you don't have any way of doing it. Remember that the one thing you never want to be as a Christian is unconsolable. You never want to get to the point where you are in rebellion against the comfort of God. And you have declared that you're going to be miserable, stay miserable, and be a griever and be sad forever. And that nothing will ever console you, because that is a rejection of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when you do not allow God to heal you of what life has done to you. Don't be unconsolable. Because remember, grief at some point changes into sin. There is a season of grief, but all grief ends. Praise the Lord. And if you keep it longer than you should, now it turns into defiance against the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. There's no honor in grieving forever. The devil tells you there is, but there isn't. You can't function when you're hurting all the time, and you can't help anybody. It's not showing that you love somebody so much that you refuse to be healed and refuse to be comforted. That's not a sign of love. It's a sign of selfishness. You want to be the center of attention and bring glory to yourself for loving people even more than Jesus does in that twisted way. Praise the Lord. So you need to get happy. There's a time to cry, but there's a time to laugh. Praise the Lord. There's a time to be sad, but there's a time to get happy. Time to weep, but a time to dance. Praise the Lord. So stay in it as long as you're supposed to, and then switch over. Glory to God. Lift your hands up and go, holla, 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 holla. Way to go, way to go, way to go. Praise God. Another thing I tell myself is this. God will finish what he has started. Come on and say that to somebody. Say, God's not done with you. Whatever God started in you, he will complete it if you cooperate with his plan for your life. God will not finish what you resist of his will, but God will finish what you cooperate with. How many of you believe God is not done with you yet? That God is not finished with you yet. But remember what I said, that every time you disobey God, you change your destiny. And every time you delay in doing what God tells you, you change your destiny. That's why procrastination is such a destiny thief. Because by the time you obey, you're 70, when you were supposed to obey when you were 20. And you have missed all those years of your destiny. Now your body cannot do at 70 what your body could have done at 20. Your destiny then has been altered. So when you stand before God, you'll go to heaven. God loves you. He'll bless you. All that stuff. But you would have had all these years of wood, hay, and stubble rather than years of gold, silver, and precious stones. Praise the Lord. Not a matter of salvation, but it's a matter of appreciation. We are servants of God that want to live to the glory of God, and therefore we want to live up to the potential that God invested in us so we can bring him the most glory we can with our lives in simple gratitude for what he did for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Praise the Lord. He paid a debt that we cannot pay. So now we live a life that God has equipped us to live that is beyond normal. Praise the Lord. Remember, you got 10 lepers, but only 2 said thank you. And that's about how it is. 8 out of 10 people live very selfish Christian lives. And only 2% live a life of selflessness, blessing people and helping people. I want to be one of the ones that says thank you with my life. Amen? How about you? Go ahead and hug somebody and say, man, you have lovely hair color. Is that the original hair color? Or did you help that color become that color? What an amazing color. Praise God. So once again, tell somebody, God will finish what he started in you. Say that to somebody. Say, God is going to finish what he started in you. Praise the Lord. And you can get that out of Philippians 1:6. This is another thing that I love, and I tell myself this all the time, Deuteronomy 23:5. God turns the curse into a blessing. Look at somebody and say, holla, holla, holla. Praise the Lord. Everybody here has been cursed at one point. You were born cursed. You inherited curses from your family. When you get saved, all those curses have to be broken. And the iniquity has to be healed. The demonic forces have to be scattered away from your family. But what's really great here is the way what God is saying is you really can't curse what God has blessed. Once you have a blessing on you, when people curse you, God turns that curse into a blessing. They curse you, but God gives the reverse of what they sent to you. Because you are a child of God and you're walking with God. And I love that because the more they cuss at you, all those cuss words are all going to turn into blessings because that's the way the Lord does it. Praise the Lord. Cuss me out. Come on. Cuss me out because every cuss word is going to turn into a blessing. Tell me bad thing because it's all going to turn to. You know, just knowing that is a lot of strength. This is strength. To know that no negative word can ever prosper against you again. If you understand that principle, that God turns the curse into a blessing, then every curse word spoken is a blessing to you because God reverses it. If you have faith in what they say, negatively that will come on you, your faith then will produce that curse onto your life. Praise the Lord. Don't believe in what the devil says. Believe in what God says about what the devil says. Amen. Raise your hands and say, holla, holla. Love that, Brother Ivan. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loves you. Praise God. Because he loves you, he's going to bless you. Because he loves you, he's going to reverse those curses. Praise God. Tell that to somebody. That should give you strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Here's another thing I tell myself all the time that brings me strength. And that is this: your wounds become your weapons. Once God heals your wound, it then becomes a weapon to heal other people with that same wound. Your chains become your ministries. Now, for all of you that do not intend on changing tonight, you have no intention on changing because it's your habit to hear and not change, then nothing I'm saying is going to do you any good, because it's like so many people that go to church and never change after being in church for 20, 30, and 40 years, because they have no intention of changing, because their mindset and mental disposition is not of the kind that comes to church expecting a transformation. This is something you have to train yourself to do. When you come to church and Pastor Steve is going to preach, you have to come in with an attitude that God has spoken to him, and that whatever it is he's going to tell you, you are going to need it, and you're going to need to make a change about it. Praise the Lord. If I tell all of you, you all need to start witnessing to everybody, and you actually did it, you know that in about a month or two, this church would be double in size. You'd have twice as many people, twice as much money, twice as much power, twice as much everything. And in 3 months, revival would break out. In 4 months, there would be no room here. You'd have to buy another building. You'd pay for it with cash. Just from obeying one little thing, everybody start bringing people to church every Sunday from now on. And if everybody who's here now did it, you'd have double the people just this next Sunday. Maybe even more, because some of you would bring three or four. I was preaching in Washington, and I kept noticing every service, the whole front would be filled with new people getting saved. And I noticed it was one girl she'd bring 15, 20 people, different ones every night. And she looked like she was on drugs. But she had just gotten saved in the Sunday morning service. And then she worked in a bar, so she started bringing all her bar maids and pole dancers and everything to the church. And they all just started getting saved and crying. And you could tell they're all on drugs and everything. You know, crying all over the front. And it was one of the most beautiful things. Every night she would just bring more people because she had a conversion. She actually got saved. And she just wanted to share this with everybody. She was a genuine, true evangelist who still was a bartender. Praise God. Think about it. My Lord, let's not receive the grace of God in vain by not expecting God to change us and give us answers to what we need in our lives. Praise the Lord. Would you hug two people and say, I love it when he talks to you like that. Praise the Lord. Pastor Steve, you know, is saying, well, you know, he says hard things. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to tell you. I'm real easy with you guys. This is easy preaching. I'm serious. I go to cowboy churches where they almost expect me to cuss, and I just won't do it anymore. Praise God. Just kidding. So encourage yourself. Your wounds become your blessing, because here's what we tend to do as Christians is feel sorry for ourselves. But I'm going to tell you that What's hurting you right now, the pain you have right now, when God puts his hand on that, it's going to become a weapon. It's going to become a ministry. And you will have nothing to feel sorry for yourself about, because you're going to be looking at a person who is telling you the very thing you went through, but you're on the other side of it. You're already healed. You're already restored. And you'll be able to look at them and say, I was where you are. And let me tell you where your Savior is going to take you. He's going to take your hand and he's going to lead you here to this place where I'm at. And one day you're going to set people free just like I'm doing it, because your wounds become your weapons. Praise God. And it keeps you encouraged. And you say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's why we're not Buddhists. There's no healing in Buddhism. There's no Savior in Buddhism, Hinduism. They don't even promise that there is a Savior. They just promise you 70 virgins. And I don't know what you women get. Praise God. What do the women get? Do you know? Shopping sprees, or I don't know. I mean, what do you get? Because, you know, the men get 70 virgins, but I don't know what the women get. So I don't know. Interesting, isn't it? Remember that any religion that makes you hate people originates with Satan. Praise the Lord. Okay, Proverbs 6:30. You can read that on your own. But I tell myself this and it strengthens me. And that is, whatever you lose, God restores sevenfold. Look at two people and say, I don't know what you've lost, but you're going to get it back sevenfold. Tell that to somebody. Come on, give them a high five. You know, you can't do that in the natural, but God can do that. God can do that. Praise the Lord. I can't explain what God does. I can just tell you what he does and know that it happens. And what he does is unexplainable sometimes, but it's true. Sevenfold returns is what you can expect. And that ought to give you strength. Unless you're a person who has been in church long enough to hear a lot of sermons and not see a lot of miracles, then your unbelief will not allow you to get excited about the truth of the word, because you are in a habit of hearing truth without seeing it manifested. And now it's just all going over your head. And I hope you're not like that, because when the Lord speaks something to you, if you take it with joy, it'll manifest. I was preaching in Tanzania a couple of weeks back, about 10,000 people. And to make a long story short, the pastor there has a church of 25,000 in three locations. 25,000. In the year 2000, I had prophesied to him before he was in the ministry, and he had one pair of pants with $1 in his pocket. And his wife had no shoes, and they just happened to come to that service where I was ministering. And I called them out, and I ministered to them and told them all these things that were going to happen in their life. And they got the tape, looked at each other, and said, we have no idea what to do with this. We're going to be preachers? What? They went back to Tanzania, put it away. Long story short, circumstance led to circumstance. They started a church in their house in the next few months, 13 people. Over a period of 4 years, it grew to 200 or 300 people. Miracles began to break out, and they pulled out the tape, started to listen to it, and fell on their faces because everything on there started to happen. Well, that was the year 2000. I went there just a couple of weeks back. They'd been asking me for 3 or 4 years. I went back. I didn't realize that the man now has 25,000 people in his church. 25,000 people. Everything I had prophesied came to pass. They had a hill, which I told them they were going to get this big hill with all kinds of buildings. God gave them acreage after acreage after acreage after acreage. The month before I got there, he did a crusade with 100,000 people in it in his hometown. When they picked us up, in a convoy of 7 brand new Land Rovers with the little flags on them, with an army escort. And that's how he travels around town. Presidents come and talk to him and the whole thing. And when I got up there in front of the church, he starts saying who I was. He says, this is the man that gave me the prophecy. And he played it over the speaker, and the church went crazy. They all just started screaming and yelling and running everywhere. I mean, just went wild. I started weeping because I heard it. Everything had come to pass of everything I had said to him. So by the time I get up to preach, the faith of the people is so high, I could have told them to stand on their head and they would have gotten healed. So I prophesied for an hour and a half straight. Just the spirit of prophecy. I just prophesied for it. And then I started calling everybody out of the wheelchairs. People are running with the crutches and getting out of wheelchairs, throwing stuff around, blind people. I mean, every kind of miracle just started breaking out because of the level of faith in the word and the expectation, because they were in a situation where they were hearing and seeing a miracle and were in the midst of it, and their own pastor and prophet was saying these things about this guy. God spoke to him, and I was like, ah, I mean, I was like a lion just wanting to devour everything, because I mean the faith is so high because of the expectation. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, please beware of sitting there like you're watching TV. Really, get excited about what God wants to do in your life. Your wife is going to have the most prophetic words for you as a husband. They'll be the most accurate. And your husband will have the most prophetic words for you as a wife. If you learn to respect each other's views that are not of the devil, but the views that come from the heart, and submit to those, you will be like Jesus a lot faster than if you just reject everything that you have and she has to each other. Praise the Lord. All right. Give someone a high five and say, Ivan is awesome. Praise God. Say, thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. And he's so humble. Praise God. Luke 15:18. I say this to myself all the time. This will give you strength. Say this to one another right now. It's never too late to change. Say that to somebody right now. Say, it's never too late to change. Remember that change is the best way to say I love you. Change is the only acceptable apology. And change is the evidence of God's presence. The way you know God is in your life is something is changing all the time. Praise the Lord. So, say that to yourself. The prodigal son, he was in a terrible situation. It said his mind came back to him. He said, I'm going home. He went home and he changed. He just made a decision. I'm changing my circumstance. Praise God. And he was freed. All right? Jeremiah 29:11. You know it. I say this to myself all the time. The best is yet to come. Everybody say that three times to somebody. Say, the best is yet to come. Come on. Tell that to somebody. Say, the best is yet to come. How many of you believe that is true? The best is yet to come. Wave your hands and say, the best is yet to come. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think that's a pretty encouraging thing. You don't know what God has in store, but what he has in store is really amazing. It hadn't shown up yet, but it's going to show up. Praise the Lord. God has something good in store for you and your family. I believe that. I say that every day. The best is yet to come. No matter how good it gets, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Praise God. The best is yet to come. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, say it. The best is yet to come. Say it to everybody. The best is yet to come. Praise God. The best is yet to come. There's more. It's going to get better. Your life is going to get better. Everything's going to get better. It's the will of God. Do the will of God. Obey the will of God. Walk in the will of God. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Praise God. Let's be full of faith and believe that God knows what he's talking about. Praise God. Okay, this is another thing. I'm almost done, and this is really important. Every sacrifice brings a breakthrough. I like to say that to myself all the time. How many of you understand that inconvenience is the stairway to Christ-likeness? And that if you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to live for other people and learn how to enjoy being inconvenienced. Because Jesus lived for us 33 and a half years. Every moment of the day, he lived it for you and not for himself. Praise the Lord. And the stairway that leads you to Christ-likeness is inconvenience. What leads you to be like the devil is selfishness. So if you want to be blessed, you don't try to get happy or find happiness. You give happiness, and then happiness comes to you. That's the source of happiness. It's making other people happy. That's the recipe Jesus created. Praise the Lord. He said, bless other people, prefer other people. And that's how you get blessed as well. Lift your hand and say, every sacrifice brings a breakthrough. So Jesus sacrificed and gave us a life that is so amazing because he died, and that sacrifice brought the breakthrough of breakthroughs for all of mankind. Amen? And it'll do the same for you. How many have ever had anybody sacrifice something for you? Praise the Lord. Were you blessed? Isn't it great when you come home and somebody has gone way out of their way to bless you? Have you ever had that happen? I mentioned I hired this guy to build some English bookshelves for me for my office. You know, scraped and all kinds of stuff. But I never could get him to do it, and I paid him. And he just kept putting it off and putting it off. Anyway, it was my birthday, so my wife got everybody to go over to the guy's house and said, we're not leaving till the bookshelves are built. And he's coming home in 2 days. They have to be built and installed. Amen. So everybody just moved in there and built those things in 2 days, 24 hours around the clock, stained them, and installed them. So when I came home, everybody's at the house, but that's not abnormal. Everybody's there waiting, and a lot of times that happens. Hey, how's it going, everybody? And I smell something. And I said, well, it smells like paint or something. Said, oh, Kimberly, my wife, said, oh, I was just painting downstairs a little bit. Said, come here, I'm going to show you something that happened and all that. So I go down there, and they're all following me. I mean, I'm not getting it, you know, at all. It's just, oh, okay, you're following me. I was kind of tired. So I smell, oh, yeah, it really smells a lot down here. Nothing. No lights. I go in there, and the whole room in there, it's got the bookshelves, everything, and I'm freaked out. Oh, my gosh. And then it had all the new books up there and everything with the gold on them and leather books, and I was, so every time I go in there, I feel loved. It's my love room. Because everybody in the family did it. 2 days not sleeping. Praise God. Inconvenience is the stairway to Christ's likeness. Would you give somebody a high five, and say, look, I don't care what he's saying. I need some money right now. Pay me. Praise the Lord. My last point, and I'll be done, and that is this. God equips you to do what he's called you to do. All right? So, until it's impossible, it's not God yet. When it becomes impossible, then you know that God is in it. Because if it's possible for you to do, then you can take the credit. But when it's impossible, only God can take the credit. Praise the Lord. So don't get scared when the word impossible appears on the screen of your life. Just say, oh, it's something God is about to do. Praise the Lord. Come on and lift your hands and say, it's something God is about to do.